I read about a professional juggler who was driving to his next performance, and he was stopped by a police officer. The police officer said to him, "What are you doing with these matches and lighter fluid here in your car?" The juggler said, "Well, I'm a juggler, and I juggle flaming torches in my acts. And I'm on my way to my next performance." Police officers looked at him and said, "Oh, yeah? Let's see you do it. Get out of your car and show me what you do." So the juggler gets out of his car and he just starts juggling the blazing torches. A couple driving by, the husband slows down the car to watch what's going on. And he says to his wife, "Wow, I am so glad I quit drinking. Look at the test they're asking them to do now." The Bible says that laughter is as good as medicine. Scripture this morning comes to us from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 10. Let us read it together. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" May the Lord bless his word this morning. A woman once asked another friend about the spiritual welfare of an acquaintance that they both had. And the lady replied, "Well, she does not seem to be doing well. She's got just enough Christianity to make her miserable when she's doing wrong, but not enough joy to carry her the rest of the time." And unfortunately, this lady resembles many Christians in the body of Christ who are dealing with the same dilemma. Yet the angel said, "I bring you good news of great joy." Good news of great joy. Now, it's very important to understand the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is based on happenings. If I wake up in the morning and I'm feeling really good that I could conquer the whole world, oh, I could feel it in my bones, today it's going to be a great day, I am so happy. If I feel like we have things going well here in the church, nobody has any issues with anything, and we can all get along, oh, I'm so happy. If we have the right job, enough money in the bank, kids are acting right, we're so happy. Bible scholar Ian Barclay says, happiness is not a biblical word at all. Happiness is derived from the root word happen. Clearly, what happens to us affects our happiness, right? Joy, on the other hand, comes from a right relationship with Jesus Christ. You see the difference? Galatians 5:22 tells us, "The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Joy, then, is the fruit of something or someone much greater than happiness. And it is not affected by good or bad happenings. It is not dependent on circumstances, but on our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, with Emmanuel, the God who dwells in us. In other words, joy is not something we can create. Rather, it is a byproduct. It is the result of a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, the level of joy in our lives is determined by the level of intimacy with Jesus Christ. Now, it's important for us to understand what that word intimacy means. It's not being naked, as some people think, physically. Intimacy is basically layman terms. I like to be practical. Into me, you see. It's okay for me to be vulnerable with you because I know you're not going to hold it against me. I love preaching to the choir. It's okay for me to be who I am and to be transparent, to just show you that what you see is what you get because you love me. Amen. And you're not going to hold it against me. I can't tell you how many people I meet that go through life wearing a mask. No wonder they're worn out. It takes a lot of energy to pretend to be someone that we are not. And that's not what God wants from us. He wants us to be authentic, to be true to ourselves, to live life out of our true self. And in order for that to happen, we need to know who we are in Christ. We need to cherish our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, happiness and unhappiness cannot coexist, cannot live together, cannot exist together. Yet joy and sorrow do. Isaiah 53:3 says, "Our Lord Jesus Christ was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief." But, Hebrews 12:2, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father." And while he's sitting there, he's not just doodling his fingers like sometimes we do. He's making intercession for us. The day I discovered this scripture, I thought, wow, everything is going to be okay. Can you imagine that the only begotten Son of God is sitting there praying for you, interceding for you, standing in the gap for you, looking down at you and saying, "That's my son right there and he's in trouble now. I will stand in the gap for him." While Jesus was on the cross, he had a picture of the resurrection on his mind. He had a picture of our salvation, our redemption, our eternal life, our abundant life. When Joseph, we read in Genesis, was falsely accused, was left abandoned by his brother, and he was in a pit, he did not set his eyes on the circumstances. Genesis 37. Instead, he set his eyes on the palace. He knew what was coming. How about us? What happens? Because, you know, life goes up and life goes down. Circumstances that we weren't planning to happen, happen. What is our attitude? The Apostle Paul writes to the believers in Philippi from a filthy jail cell. It wasn't an all-inclusive resort like we visited. It was a jail. And from there he writes, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Again, how about us? Can we keep our joy through uncertainties? Can we keep our joy when chaos is surrounding us? Can we keep our joy in the hustle and bustle of the commercialized season? The angel said, I bring you good news of great joy. And you see, it's imperative for us to internalize this great news so that then it can flow out of us and we can share it with others. Because whatever is in the well, it's gonna come up in the bucket. Sometimes we say certain things and we wonder where did that come from? The well. Bible says as a man thinks or woman, so he is. What characterizes our life? Joy? Or unhappiness, lack of joy, fear. Many times we need to examine ourselves and stop wishing this moment of our life away. You see, the now in our lives could be a glorious time if we allow it to be. As it has been said, we cannot bring back yesterday. We're not assured of tomorrow. Hold on to the moment today. Enjoy it. That's why they call it a present, because it is. We shouldn't allow the world to fool us with the definition of happiness. Jesus Christ didn't come for us to be happy as we run from mall to mall with great aggravation. He came so that at last God's promises of redemption would become a powerful reality in our lives and our hearts would be filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory, as the Bible says. Now, we need to be aware of the existence of what I like to call joy stealers. I'm not going to name them all. There's a lot. I'm just going to name a few. Worry, stress, fear, toxic relationships. These not only steal our joy, but also deplete our good health. Author Mary Sutherland says that there are three kinds of people in the world. Maybe you even have them in your lives. Maybe you're one of them, or you know somebody. Replenishing people. They pump you up. Once you leave their presence, their sight, you leave as a better person, ready to take the whole world. Then there are neutral people, simply present. They're vague, they're colorless. You talk to them and they just grunt, And then they're draining people. Emotional dark holes. I like to call them vacuum cleaners. Because when they come and see you, by the time they're done and gone, they have sucked life out of you. And you need to take a long break so that you could get replenished. You see, there's a definite relationship between emotional contentment and good physical health. Emotional health can be compared to a bank account. The deposits and withdrawals determine the balance. I hear people say, so-and-so is such an excellent person. He hasn't taken vacation in a year. Oh, what a hard worker he is or she is. And I think, oh, what a fool he is or she is. Because we need balance in our lives. We need vacation time. We need time with family. We need time to sit back and relax. And you know, we tend to do that in the church a lot. We put pastors in a pedestal. Yes. He or she never takes vacation. That's the worst thing a pastor can do for a church. That's the worst thing a leader can do. Never does continued education. Oh, he or she keeps doing the same thing over and over. Boring. The only thing that's constant is change, my brothers and sisters. The gospel doesn't change, but the vessel does. When you study the gospels, when you study the Bible, not two individuals were the same. Well, we tend to compare even our children. I want you, why can you not be like Jamie? Because I'm not Jamie. We're all different because God wants to show his glory through us. Therefore, we need to have a balanced life. You know, we live in a day when more is being said about health and nutrition than ever before. If you don't believe me, go to one of those bookstores. There aren't that many anymore, but I think Barnes & Noble's still around or one of them. Section after section. And sometimes there are conflicting reports. I was talking to a friend of mine, and I was saying, well, you know, the doctor has said it's important to eat oatmeal every day. I was naming all these things. Oh, no, the book I'm reading, that's really bad. It's all sugar. You shouldn't be eating that anymore, I'm telling you. And she went on and on. But one thing we know, that the Bible says that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And that we need to take care of our bodies. That we should eat healthy food and get adequate rest and have healthy relationships. I know if I were to ask you, there are so many relationships in your lives that you could describe, and you could say, well, I have all kinds. But the aim is healthy relationships. The Bible says, Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart, a joyful heart, does good as medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. A joyful outlook on life has a great therapeutic value. But that just happens. As I said before, joy is a result of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And my friends, out of all the relationships that we might have, our relationship with Jesus Christ is the most replenishing relationship that you and I could ever have. And the angel said, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. We know that Jesus came bearing gifts. And we love to receive gifts. And hopefully all of us enjoy giving out gifts, right? Sometimes we go shopping and we buy something and we really, really like it. And when we're wrapping it, we think, I should keep that one. Or am I the only one that goes through that sometimes? Yet Jesus came, didn't hold back, brought us all kinds of gifts. Hope, peace, joy, love, salvation, redemption, healing, wholeness. I mean, the list is endless. But it's up to us to receive the gifts, open them, put them into practice, and then share it with others. May that be our aim, not just now, during the Advent season, but all through our lifetime. Receiving the gifts, being conduits, giving it out. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that as you promised, in the fullness of time, you send your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into a broken, sad, dysfunctional world. And that night he came bearing gifts, not just for a specific race, but for all people. Anyone and everyone who would be willing to receive it and then give it away. Forgive us for this so many times that we really haven't opened the gifts. We haven't even acknowledged that they're there. May today be the day that we say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. May today be the day that we truly examine ourselves, that we take this message with us and meditate on it. And that we answer that question, what really characterizes my life? Joyful? A joyful heart? Or a dry heart? We receive the good news today. The great news. And we receive the gift of joy as well. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.